from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning, everybody. Hello and good morning. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen, and we're the Insiders. We're hanging out with you till noon. Salute to Jiffy Lube, who sponsors the program. And we are hoping to bring you Monty McNair's press conference, his introductory press conference with Devin Carter. We are waiting to see if we can find that that live so we can bring it to you. And if we can, then we will. But until then, the Kings haven't made any moves yet. We are sitting and waiting. That's where we're at.
And waiting.
That's kind of it.
I think waiting is the hardest part, Kyle.
No, I've heard that.
It's not knowing the unknown here. I work the phones. Damian works the phones. We're trying to figure out what's happening here and there, and we're getting some little bit there. But look, this is kind of the process, and you just have to wait it out and see what happens.
I think it's... I'm stuck in a weird spot because I get that it's a process and I understand that. And I understand that a deal made on July 1 is the same as a deal made on July 3rd or July 4th or July 5th. But from the Kings' standpoint, I think the frustration I feel with this, knowing full well and logically understanding that the fact they didn't make a move yesterday or have not made one by 10 a.m. today is not an indicator that there's no deal to be made and that they're going to run it back and that the Kings offseason is over. I fully understand that. That's where my logical brain lands. That there's no deal done by now doesn't mean there's no deal to be done.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it feels very obvious about what they should be doing. We know Brandon Ingram talks are happening. There have been reported Lauri Markkanen talks that are happening. Mm-hmm. We know that they are intrigued or interested in Kyle Kuzma or whatever it is. And we know that Cam Johnson and Dorian Finney-Smith are also wings who are out there and available. All of those players fit really well with what the Kings need. And you know it, I know it, everybody listening to this knows it. Salute if you're listening on ESPN 1320 AM or the free Odyssey app. And shout out to everybody hanging out with us on YouTube and Twitch in the chatty house. We all know. And it's like the longer this goes on, the further adrift I go from, oh, this is fine. Like patience, wait it out, everything's good. I'm still there. I'm still waiting. I'm still patient. I still understand. But also, every second that ticks down inches me closer to, hey, what's the holdup? What's we know that there's Brandon Ingram talks. Why has this not happened one way or the other yet? Same thing with Lauri Markkanen. Like, what's the holdup?
I agree. So when you're dealing though with other teams, like, that, this is part of the process, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's Tuesday. Free agency started on Sunday at 3:00. We're less than 48 hours in. At some point, you're going to have to make some sort of move.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we've discussed that so many times, but you're going to have to make some sort of move, especially with all of these other teams getting better. Mm-hmm. And we're just kind of stuck waiting. And at the end of the day, you know, basketball doesn't start until October. Training camp doesn't start until like the first week of October. There should be some patience here,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, there's too many rumors, too many like who you might get, who you might not get.
Right.
And then if you end up with nothing and you've missed the entire free agency window and mm-hmm. haven't signed anybody because you were trying to make a trade,
mm-hmm.
then that's a bigger problem.
Like, right.
We've talked about, you know, the fact that you can use your MLE to go out and sign something, go out and trade for somebody.
It's your mid-level exception.
Yeah, your mid-level exception. But at the same time, like, that doesn't mean that you're going to be able to close one of those deals either, because someone could sure. say, okay, look, you're desperate now. You didn't make any moves. Your team looks the same, and you're running it back 3.0. Like, mm-hmm. that's not the way that anybody expected. Yeah. So
I'm trying to decide if the silence is good. Like, oh yeah, dude, they are grinding to try to figure this out. Or I'm trying to decide if the silence is bad because the Pelicans and their talks with Brandon Ingram got hung up on, hey, Keegan Murray or we're out from the Pelicans side. And yeah. the Kings said, okay, fine, goodbye. And now they're pivoting to a Jazz team that doesn't know what it wants to do with Lauri Markkanen. And it appears that the Jazz are trying so hard to drive the price up as far as possible that they might just drive every team that's interested away.
Oh, yeah.
Because Lauri Markkanen's on the final year of his contract. He's going to be a free agent.
Yep.
So the price for him is only going to go so high.
That's the problem that you have with both of these players.
You're right.
With both Markkanen and with Brandon Ingram. It's that, like, how much are you expected to give up? Like, I can understand giving up a first.
Mm-hmm.
But you have no guarantee at all. Like, again, we talked about this yesterday. The best you can do is you can offer them a 5%. A 2-year deal with 5% raises, and the 2-year extension has to be within very strict parameters.
Right.
You have to wait 6 months. You got to wait until January to sign these guys to an extension, and that makes things really awkward.
Yeah.
Just really, really awkward.
And if anything goes sideways, so I get this, and again, I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here a little bit. I understand why the Kings would have some level of caution for that reason. But what I can't bring myself to understand is not taking some kind of risk and not taking some kind of, like, ooh, bit of an overpay. Let's see if it works.
Yeah.
Because that appears to be the path they're going to have to go down here. Unless Brandon Ingram is available for Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter and a first.
Yeah.
In which case, great. You know what? That's a fine swing guarantee that he's staying or not.
Yep.
No,
I would agree with you. It's tough, man. I always, the waiting game is brutal. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, we know more than what we can say. This isn't one of those times. Like, what we...
Dude, that's... Go ahead.
Yeah, what we've heard is we've told you. Like, you know, Sean Cunningham heard they're discussing things with Brandon Ingram. With the Pelicans for Brandon Ingram. I heard, yes, that is something that is happening. But that was a couple of days ago. Like, literally, that was a couple of days ago. So the Lauri Markkanen and stuff, I got texts early yesterday. Hey, they're one of the teams that are in on Lauri Markkanen. Okay. But that's just, it's at this point, it's rumor and innuendo until it's actually something that we start getting closer and closer to a deal. So
it's really funny because there's times where you or Damian or somebody else I know who works in media covering a team will be like, yeah, X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, but do you also know ABC and 1, 2, 3 and you're not telling me? Or, and it's like, well,
Well,
but
a lot of
this is literally like James and I could turn off the mics right now and have full blown like, hey, no one's ever going to hear this. What's happening?
Mm-hmm.
And he would tell me exactly what he's saying on air, and that's frustrating to me
today.
I don't like knowing that there's not more. I like when I know, like, oh, there's a little something else in the works. Okay, I got it.
Yep.
But today it's like, nope, hey, that's what you got.
since we don't have the press conference going live right now, I will tell you that according to Frankie Carticelli, Devin Carter says he has not met with the Kings medical staff yet regarding his shoulder injury, which he said happened during a workout. McNair said they are aware of the injury on draft night and the team is very optimistic about his long-term outlook.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's good news.
We still don't have any idea at this point whether or not he is going to play in the California Classic this weekend.
Huh. And that was part of the reason he dropped, apparently.
Yeah, there's some murmurs about that. But
interesting.
But we have to see. I mean, like, look, he was able to go through a lot of the workouts.
Right.
He had a ton of workouts. So he had something ridiculous, like 18 workouts or something.
Oh, hey. There. I found it.
You found it?
I found it.
Well, let's do it.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to take you live to the Monty McNair, Devin Carter press conference just as soon as I figure out how to get this set up. That's not what I want. How do I do this, James?
There
we go. Share screen. Look at me go.
Oh.
There's that.
Yeah.
And that's on. And this is on. Hey, everybody. Monty McNair and Devin Carter coming to you live right now from Golden One Center.
You know, Coach Kim came to Providence and he told me he wanted me to shoot 7 threes minimum a game. And just hearing him say that from day one, just building that confidence back up that I lost was so big time. And I think just me having my confidence back from when he first got there, you know, through the whole summer, just telling me to shoot it, you know, even when I didn't think I was open, he said shoot it because he thought I was. Just hearing that confidence from your head coach just really made me want to
go
to the gym and just keep getting the reps up and everything. So
we'll probably just go to 25 here with the break.
Appreciate Kim for that, giving me my confidence.
Just look how long it lasts, because it might not be
Devin,
that long.
You're going to be playing with some extremely gifted playmakers.
This question is going to go
Sabonis
to 10, 15,
and Monk. So. And I noticed in some of your highlight reels, you have great court vision and you're a great passer too.
What
is there anything that you can contribute as far as playmaking? How do you feel about your playmaking skill?
There it is. There was
I feel really good in my playmaking skills. I think I know I get to figure out my teammates and where they like their shots, what kind of passes they like. You know, some people like the seams to be perfect. Some like I like to learn that from my teammates throughout the off season and everything. You know, just practicing with them. So to answer your question, I think my playmaking is, you know, very good. Like I said, I can get my teammates shots and everything. Get my own shots if I want. So,
Hey, Devin. Way back here, brother.
Okay.
Kevin John, ABC 10. So we talked a lot about what you're going to bring to this team on the court.
Right.
Your playmaking ability, your defense, three-point shooting, et cetera. But you're also someone who is not shy about displaying your personality.
Right.
Whether that's through your clothes. We all saw your fit on draft night.
What do you give that 1 through 10?
So what do I give that 1 through 10?
Yeah.
I would have to exceed the scale. I give that a 15.
Okay. There you go.
Outstanding
there you go.
Job.
Appreciate it.
Now, in addition to that, I've seen a TikTok video surfacing with you in your new, in your Kings uniform. As far as your personality and just everything that you bring off the court, does that come from dad, or what's the inspiration behind it?
I mean, that's just me. I think that, you know, when you move around so much as a kid, you know, city to city, you just have to figure out how to meet new people and figure out how to talk to new people. So I think that just moving around a lot helped me build that personality, you know, just to be able to make people laugh and just express who I am. I mean, you know, I'm not going to change just for somebody. I mean, if you like me, you like me. If you don't, I mean, that's just me. So that's to answer your question.
Hey, Devin. How's it going, man?
What's up?
Mason. How much do you think playing 3 years of college ball helped you? Like, in what ways did it help you to get that experience of 3 years of college ball, maybe on and off the court?
Yeah. Playing college ball for 3 years was big time to me. You know, freshman year, it was a pretty good year. Sophomore year was pretty good. And then junior year, you know, you're older, you're mature, you start to find yourself more. So I think that's also going to help translate to, you know, the NBA, just because let's say the freshman year that I had with my three-point percentage being 29% or whatever, and I got my confidence shook, it'd be a lot harder to get that back in the NBA than, you know, college. So I think that, you know, being older, going through that, you know, as a teenager, now being 22 years old, I think that just, you know, having that maturity and mindset just going forward is really helpful, so.
Evan, yesterday you got greeted by a bunch of fans at Sacramento International Airport. Just what was that like to feel the fan base right when you land? And what have you heard about the Sacramento Kings fan base in general?
Man, it was electric. I mean, they were ringing those cowbells. It was purple everywhere. I think my new favorite color might be purple now. So, man, it's great, though. I mean, I just definitely feel welcomed here. Like I said, very blessed to be here. Flight was smooth. So, no, it's great, though. Just super excited to be here. And, you know, I heard that they're the best fans in the country, so I'm just excited to go out there and perform in front of them, you know, win some games for them, make the playoffs.
Monty, on draft night, you talked about on draft night just his rebounding and the transferable skill. You think that is the NBA and also what that says about his game. Whether it's from you or your scouts, what is it? Is there anything specific that when you first saw Devin or your scouts first saw Devin that jumped off the page, whether it was this year or whatever, whenever you discovered him?
I think for sure the first thing that jumps off in film with Devin is just how hard he plays. And, you know, I think that shows up in the box score and some of the stats. And, you know, basketball is about the ball, and Devin goes and gets the ball. So missed shot, he goes and gets it. Loose ball, he goes and gets it. He takes it from the other team, and then he goes and puts it in the other basket. So, you know, it sounds simple, but, you know, we see that all over when we watch him, when we talk to him, and then, you know, when we look at the statistics and when those things all line up, you know, we feel confident he'll be able to do it the next level.
Devin, Malik got voted GQ's most stylish player of the year last year. I was just wondering if you were planning on competing for that at all.
I don't know. I let GQ decide. Yeah, I let GQ decide.
That's my turn. So I know we just talked about, you know, his shoulder, but is there, at this point, do you know that he will be able to participate in the California Classic, Monty?
We don't know yet. We'll get with the doctors here this week, and we'll see. We'll see what that'll look like. But whenever it is, Devin, whether it's you know, next week or later on, we're excited to get him on the court. And like I said, he's going to impact winning in a lot of ways. There's going to be a lot of cowbells being rung for all the plays Devin's going to make on the floor. And maybe even when we're playing a certain team with somebody else on the sideline that he's wanted to beat. So, no, we're excited for whenever that time comes, but we'll find out.
Thank you, everyone.
All right. That was Devin Carter and Monty McNair live from Golden One Center. An applause-worthy intro presser for both of them. Wow.
I feel
an
like
amazing job.
There must have been family and friends in the room and King staff, because that's not media.
I've never seen that before
that's
in my life.
Not media giving a player a
Sean Cunningham back there just like, wow, what a job. What a job, everybody. We did it. Yeah, I think I'm interested to see if he winds up playing in the California Classic now.
Yeah, I mean,
or in summer league at all.
Yeah, it's a big question. I mean, if he's not going to play in the California Classic, then he's probably not playing in summer league.
Yeah.
So, like, at all. So, I think it's a concern, but, like, I mean, like, what I've heard, other teams had concerns about the shoulder. I got that, like, literally, I spoke to someone with another team who had concerns about his shoulder. But that doesn't mean, like, that he won't be ready for the opening week of the season or training camp. We don't know at this point, so I'm not going to speculate. Like, again, there are things that I've heard and you know, that aren't great, but that doesn't mean that they're not wrong. And that's why the medical staff, and I have a hard time believing the Kings aren't very close to understanding what exactly it is that's going on in the shoulder.
Sure.
I mean, he's been there more than 24 hours, and sure, you took some pictures with him and had him do like an Instagram reel or whatever, but there was a whole lot of other time that you knew exactly what you needed to do, and the first thing you need to do is check out a shoulder.
Correct.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that when Monty McNair was asked about the first thing that jumped out to him about Devin Carter, and he said just how hard he plays.
Yes.
That was not necessarily telling, but I think it's a good sign, because there were, how many times last year did we talk with the Kings like, man, they just did not look like they competed tonight?
No, that's true. And how many times did you watch a 50-50 ball go to the other team?
Boy, it was 70-30.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a problem. Mm-hmm. And so you need some of those players on the floor.
And guys who are going to, this is something Keon Ellis, I think, did really, really well. So there were, you know, the Kings had their trouble with three-point defense last year. And, you know, their closeouts and closing out short and leaving guys open and, you know, sending two to the ball when they didn't want to, leaving a guy open, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. But then insert Keon Ellis, who just created havoc by jumping passing lanes. De'Aaron Fox, also very good at jumping passing lanes, but just creating havoc on the perimeter by getting over screens, jumping a passing lane that maybe a different player would not have gotten to, and just creating a break the other way. That's not only generating a possession, but that's a live ball steal. Like, that's how you go down and get easy buckets. And so much of what Devin Carter does is that.
Yeah, and I would add to that, too, that when Keon Ellis got on the court, he created enough chaos that whether he got a steal or not, he made the other team throw some bad passes that De'Aaron Fox took advantage of.
Yeah, great
De'Aaron
point.
Fox ends up with leading the league in steals. A lot of that is because he has a natural gift for steals. He has a natural gift for especially picking somebody's pocket after they get by, because he's so quick. But also because there were plenty of opportunities where guys made difficult or bad passes because Keon Ellis's defense was so good. And that's what you're hoping that you get here, too. The Kings need a personality like this, a guy who doesn't mind, you know, getting kicked in the face when he's diving for a ball, and, you know, who doesn't mind like mixing it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's the toughness that you saw from him at Providence is something that, if it carries over, that will be something that should carry over.
Yeah, right.
You know, like whether the three-point shot carries over, whether some of the other things carry over, like again, the rebounding numbers, 8.7 rebounds per game. And crazy. That's the other thing I would point out. People, we keep talking about, hey, the difference between, you know, the fact that you're going to have a young player instead of a third-year Davion Mitchell at the backup point guard spot. Davion Mitchell, like, for all of the things that Davion Mitchell did well, and I, you know, like, very solid shooter, very solid passer, great on-ball defender.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the worst rebounders I've ever seen at the NBA level.
It's pretty incredible.
For his career, he averaged 1.6 rebounds per game.
That's so hard to do.
I mean, like, and part of it's because he's not very tall. Part of it's because he's not very long.
Mm-hmm.
But
and he doesn't jump out of the gym.
Yeah. But that's a problem. And now you're replacing him with a young guard who, at worst, should be able to go get you a couple of rebounds per game, more than what you had before. This is already the number one defensive rebounding team in the league as far as defensive rebounding percentage. They're solid rebounding team overall. But that's where I think that this team, you're going to see instant improvement, just the length and athleticism of this player, the grit. I'm not going to say that Davion Mitchell isn't gritty. Davion Mitchell's very gritty. He plays the game really hard and is in people's face. But this other side of you're getting a lot of what Davion had, except for you're getting it in a better offensive player and a longer, bigger player. And that's something that the Kings needed, especially at the point guard spot, two guard spot, whatever you want.
Yeah, dude, 1.6 rebounds should just fall to you through the course of the game if you're just getting in and mixing it up and being around the basketball.
Yeah.
That's what Monty McNair said in his presser just now. He said, the game is about the ball, and he goes and gets the ball.
Yes.
And that just, I know that sounds so simple, and I know that sounds very basic. Like, well, everybody's trying to get the ball. No, they're not.
Yeah.
That's not the case.
No.
That not everybody is always looking for a And, you know, that's partly because Harrison Barnes, his job is to sprint up the court and get down to the corner as fast as humanly possible. Mm-hmm. And I get that. But also, there's ways to, you see, De'Aaron Fox, I think, is very good at this. I think if you go down the road, I think this is something Steph Curry's really good at, is working in to get near where the rebound might be, mm-hmm. and then get out. And because just in case it falls to you, hey, you're creating a possession. But Davion Mitchell did not do that particularly effectively. That's something that Devin Carter does really, really well. It's just being around the ball.
Yeah, and I liked when he had a press conference like the night of the draft, one of the things he talked about was how he studies the angles, and he is predicting where the ball is going to go mm-hmm. from the shot itself. And I don't know why more players don't do that. I know that there was a time where we asked Willie Cauley-Stein, it was in the locker room, mm-hmm. if he thought about watching film of Dennis Rodman. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, not really. Like, I don't understand. It's like, why would I do that? It's like, because he's one of the greatest rebounders of all time at 6'7".
Yeah, not on accident.
No.
Like, he didn't just luck into the ball falling to him.
Yeah, exactly.
He went and beat guys to spots. Yeah, I think that's partly, like you said, you can definitely watch film and get a feel. But I also think there's just an instinctual aspect to it of knowing where you are on the floor. Hey, how that shot left that guy's hand. Okay, that's flat. That's going to hit the front iron and be over here. Like, that just, it's, I think so much of it is just instinctual, because if you're trying to think about that, it's happening like this. And so much, when you watch Devin Carter, so much of what jumps out are just those instinctual plays, like jumping passing lanes that aren't his to defend. But he just sees the way the ball is moving, where the players are going, and, oh, the ball should generally be in this area. I've got a hand there.
Yep.
And I think that translates to rebounding too. No, I'm excited to watch him play. I just hope it's sooner rather than later.
Yeah, me too.
I have a question. Just while we're here, we got a couple of minutes. We'll talk more about the Kings offseason stuff. We have some other non-King stuff to get to today. Some NBA free agency. James and I both watched some U.S. men's national team footy last night. I've got takes. The reason we don't talk a lot of soccer on this show is because when I watch, who we got here, Romania and the Netherlands, I'm watching the sport. I enjoy it. I'm not an anti-footy guy. I just don't have takes. I don't have anything to say about it. Mm. Wow, cool goal. Doesn't translate to great radio. But I have takes on what we watched in soccer last night. So we'll do some of that as well. Plus, campaign being arrested might be the funniest sports story of the year. Not that he got arrested, but just the process of it, and what he told police officers was
just weird.
It was very, very odd. Domantas Sabonis led the Kings in rebounds last year, 13.7 per game. Second on the team, Keegan Murray at 5.5.
Yeah.
Does Devin Carter, assuming he's healthy all year, finish with more or less than 5.5 rebounds per game?
Oof. Less, because I don't think he'll get the minutes.
No, let's do, you know what? You're right. Let me do per 36. That's right. That's right. You said the right thing there. Okay, per 36. We've got Domas at 13.8, JaVale at 13.4, Alex Len 10.4, Juan Toscano-Anderson 9.5, Trey Lyles at 8 was the regular who played more than 500 minutes.
Yeah.
8 rebounds per 36.
Okay, so like if I am betting on what he's going to look like in year two, and if he's playing mm-hmm. close to 30 minutes a night, then yeah, I think he will be like a 6+ rebound mm-hmm. per game guard. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's elite.
That's
elite,
crazy.
Elite.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what you're hoping is that somehow he becomes like a Josh Hart type player. And if you have that, like, holy cow. So, I mean, Josh Hart to me is one of the most valuable players in the NBA at this point.
Can we get JTA in camp?
Mm.
Just one time.
Just one time.
Just get my in there, guy in there running around.
Yeah, just to compete.
Wing depth?
Yeah, wing depth. There it is. I'd love to see it. He's a good dude.
Yeah, great guy. Shout out to JTA and his 11 games in Sacramento. All right, we have to actually break this time. We'll talk some Kings off season. Where are we at with Lauri Markkanen? Where are we at with Brandon Ingram? And somebody in the media proposed a Kings-Jazz swap that involved Lauri Markkanen, and we'll talk about it next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We're hanging out with you till noon. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, let's talk about the Kings offseason. I have a trade idea. Yeah, not a trade rumor, not a trade report, a writer throwing out an idea and talking about it. Kevin O'Constantinople, he writes for The Ringer. Took the Jake Fisher reporting that the Kings were in on Lauri Markkanen and said, here's what I would do if I was the Kings in acquiring Lauri Markkanen. In Kevin O'Constantinople's trade, the Kings get Lauri Markkanen and center Walker Kessler in exchange for Keegan Murray, Kevin Huerter, and then it just says picks. It's not specified. So let's call it 2 first-round picks. Let's just, we'll say that for the sake of our discussion here. Because I don't think that Kevin Huerter or the picks would be the hang-up here. It's very obviously Keegan Murray.
Yeah.
And I've had a change of heart on this.
Mm-hmm.
Because for a while, I've never been like, you need to put Keegan on the table, you need to trade him. That's insane. That's objectively insane. But I've been very like, well, if they think there's a star-level player and they are worried that Keegan's ceiling is below that and they think that this helps them long-term, then, then you kind of have to do that even if... But now I'm full-blown at the point where I'm just not moving Keegan. Not for any realistic deal. Not in a Brandon Ingram deal. I'm not doing it in a Lauri Markkanen deal. I think the name we would always bring up is Jaylen Brown, right? If somebody like Jaylen Brown becomes available, then
Donovan
sure,
Mitchell, that's sure, what, yeah.
Then let's put, fine. But in any of these trades that we've talked about, whether it's Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, or Lauri Markkanen, I've just reached a point where Keegan is entirely off the table to me. There's no thought process to me that could come from the Kings front office that would make that make sense, because the only way Lauri Markkanen puts you in that position where you are surefire, like definitely a playoff team and maybe contending in the West, or Brandon Ingram doing the same, the only way that works to me is if it also means Keegan Murray is in your starting lineup with that player. Lauri Markkanen and Brandon Ingram make the most sense for the Kings alongside Keegan Murray and Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis. It makes way less sense, and you feel way less good about the Kings, short and long term, if it's one of those guys, no Keegan, and De'Aaron and Domas and Malik.
I agree 100%.
I'm now out. I'm taking it entirely off the table.
Yeah, it has to be a superstar level or a legitimate long-term all-star like possibility.
I would agree with you.
Yeah, and I mean, like, look, Lauri Markkanen made an all-star team. Brandon Ingram made an all-star team, but they aren't all-stars right now.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they're 26 and 27 years old, I still have a tough time. And part of it, it's complicated because it's not just who you would be giving up. There are strings attached everywhere with this.
Right.
So first and foremost, what does that do with your relationship to De'Aaron Fox? And I know at the end of the day, a player like De'Aaron Fox is always going to be concerned about like who he is and what he is and his legacy, but also like the people around him and how are you building the team. And so there's always a possibility that you're able to get someone that's so good that it makes it make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to understand that there's a very good relationship there, that Keegan Murray is part of the Fox family at this point, and that like moving Keegan Murray is not something that De'Aaron Fox would recommend, at least not that I know, unless it's such a no-brainer that you have to do it.
Right.
So that's number one. Number two, the contractual issue, you can't overlook it. Like the fact that you cannot sign Lauri Markkanen to an extension right now, and the Utah Jazz cannot sign him to an extension and then trade him to you. Right. You can give him an extension, but the extension he's not signing.
Yeah, it's short of what he's going to make on the open market.
It's based off of his $18 million a year salary, and it comes with a small raise and then only 5% raises over the 2 years. That's all you can give him. He's not taking that deal.
No chance.
There's no way he's going to go back into free agency at 29 feeling good about what just happened. So that's something that I would point out. And the fact is that Keegan Murray is going to get a rookie scale extension next summer. And that we don't know what that dollar amount will be, but I guarantee you it's going to be way less, because financially, per the NBA, you can only make a certain amount for years of service in the league. So a fifth-year player, their maximum they can make is a little over $30 million bucks. That's 2 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
He can make a little over $30 million bucks. Maybe it's 32 by that point, right? Sure. Lauri Markkanen is going to make 40, 50 at that point.
Oh, at least.
He's going to want that next summer. You're going to be paying him a four-year, $200 million deal, right? Five-year, $200-something million deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's written. It's done. It's over. Yep. That's what you're giving him, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're going to take away your control of a young asset that you will have control over for the next 6 or 7 years and trade that for 1 year potential of a player. It's not happening.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
And what you said, like, we can put all of these guys up on a whiteboard like what the Kings have, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is no way I'm taking Lauri Markkanen and no Keegan Murray over Keegan Murray and Kyle Kuzma, or Keegan Murray and Brandon Ingram. If I got to give up a little bit more to get a Brandon Ingram, or I got to give up a little bit more than I'm comfortable to give up for Kyle Kuzma because he's under contract for 3 years, you know,
picks wise, I'm punting. I don't take whatever picks.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter. The Keegan thing is now to me completely off the table. Just the more I've kind of thought about this and like you talk about with the contract stuff, it just, from a basketball standpoint, I don't like it. From a financial standpoint, I definitely don't like it. So that just doesn't, and the Walker Kessler aspect of this, like, okay, fine. Like that's cool as your backup center, but
12 minutes per game.
It's not worth giving up Keegan Murray And part of me is because I still believe that if there's a leap Keegan's going to have to make, if the Kings are going to maximize themselves, it relies heavily on number 13 and taking a significant step toward being an all-star caliber player. Now, whether he makes an all-star team or not, I don't know. The Sacramento thing is weird. But he has to be that caliber of player where we're looking at it and going, like, he should be on the all-star team. He should, and if he's not, he's going to be on the top of everyone's list of snubs, the same way De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis were this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he has to get to that level of player, and I think the Kings are relying on that, and I think there's a lot of people who are still optimistic that he can get there. This isn't a situation. Bogdanovic is a situation that in his first year, he was really good, but then in year two, he was a little better. But you looked at it and you went, he's 26.
Yeah.
Like, he's probably just kind of the player he's going to be. And sure enough, he is sitting at his career averages or right about what he averaged those first 2 years. Keegan Murray is not that. Is he a little bit older than a typical rookie? Yes. But he's not 25. He's not 26.
Yeah, and you bring up Bogey. Bogdanovic had been a pro for like 10 years at that point. He had been a pro since the time he was like 15. So he was refined in who he was. Just like Sasha Vezenkov could have got a little bit better statistically than what he did the year before. But trying to convert Sasha Vezenkov into a much better defensive player over a summer when he's going from his 28 to 29 year season.
Yeah.
Like, what do you, that's not going to happen.
No, by this point, yeah, you're not developing your skills in that way, typically. Yeah. You're going to make marginal improvements on, you know, whether it's your lateral quickness or maybe your free throw percentage or your 3-point percentage. But yeah, you're not taking a leap into an elite defender overnight from age 28 to 29.
No.
So he can do it from age 21 to 22.
Yeah.
Took a nice little jump. So yeah, I think there's an offensive step or steps he needs to take still, but it's not at the point where I'm going, man, the Kings need to sell high.
Well, yeah, but I would also point out that if you were to add a Brandon Ingram to a Keegan Murray lineup, it not only does that give Keegan more time to develop into that player, but it also allows Keegan Murray not to have that type of ceiling that you need him to have today.
Yeah.
And so today you need him to have a ceiling as a 20 and 6 guy who plays spectacular defense.
Yeah.
Who shoots 38% to 40% from three.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
In a world where you have a Brandon Ingram, all of a sudden, Keegan Murray at 18 points and 6 rebounds, or even 7 rebounds, he could probably be a better rebounder if he doesn't have to be the same type of offensive player. That's fine, and that's okay if that's who he is. And all of a sudden, you've got two guys that are interchangeable and that can, you know, really support you in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like right now, the expectations that you have to have for Keegan Murray are way higher than they would even if you had Kuzma.
That's it.
Like, the only way for the Kings today to take the leap forward is for Keegan to take this really spectacular leap and become Chris Middleton.
That's it.
Right?
Yep.
And
the bar comes down so far when you're adding an all-star caliber player to the Kings.
Yes, yes.
Because now that onus doesn't fall on Keegan.
Well, and he can be your fourth or fifth best player today with the potential to be your third best player down the road.
Mm-hmm.
But the immediate, like, I need you to be this person today is gone. And that's good. That's good. That's where I think that if you're the Kings, I believe they know that as well. Like, these are smart basketball people.
Yeah.
And like, whatever we think about like their waiting game and all that stuff, there's usually a reason why it happened. You know, like, I don't like some of the games and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like hearing some of the postmortem on the Pascal Siakam stuff that our friend Sam Amick has put out from The Athletic. Like, that stuff is kind of wonky and not real great.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, like, this is a group of basketball minds. They have an entire analytics team that's very good at what they do, that have sought out really good players. It's not it wasn't random that this team took a leap. Like, the fact that they took an 18-game leap in one season is crazy, but it wasn't by accident. I mean, they did their homework on what the type of player you want to put next to Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox. They made the moves. They made the draft picks to make all of that happen. Now you have to keep, you know, growing and morphing your team into a better team than it was a year before.
I do kind of wonder if, sticking on the Keegan and Lauri Markkanen thing for a second, I do kind of wonder if Keegan Murray being off the table is ultimately what hangs up that deal.
Well, I would think, sure. Yeah.
Because the Jazz are in such a weird spot with this. I don't know what they want. They have... Lauri Markkanen's probably not re-signing there, right?
Well, the word is that he would like to re-sign, but I'm not sure. Like, there's a big difference between wanting to re-sign right now and wanting to re-sign. Like, him and Will Hardy have a very good relationship. But again,
sure,
who knows if Will Hardy's the head coach of that team 2 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so as a player, you need to think of that. He's going to go into next year's free agency as one of the hottest ticket dudes out there.
1,000%. Like, yeah. He's going to make a ton of money on a team that could probably compete.
Yeah.
And that's where I don't know what the Jazz are doing as far as, because his price was crazy high at last trade deadline.
Uh-huh.
And now it's apparently crazy high again. So they don't apparently want to get rid of him.
Well, but the price has to come down because he's on a 1 year deal.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. It's so do they not want to get rid of him unless they're, it's like the Brandon Ayuk thing with the 49ers.
Yeah.
The 49ers had trade talks about Brandon Ayuk in the event that the Commanders wanted to give them the second overall pick for Ayuk.
Mm.
And they would go, okay, fine. If we're going to fleece you in the deal, we'll take it.
Yeah.
So I think that's what the Jazz are looking for. Like, yeah, if we can fleece somebody in this deal, then we'll take it. But we don't want to get rid of the guy. Which is like, okay, so cool. The Kings have made calls on him. But if they're going, yeah, Keegan Murray, all of your firsts, and also Devin Carter.
And it's okay to punt. It's also okay if you're in a negotiation with the team for someone like Brandon Ingram,
mm-hmm.
and you get to the point in the negotiations where it's getting sticky and you're like, okay, this is uncomfortable. Okay, we're going to shift gears and go talk to Utah for a few minutes about Lauri Markkanen, and we mm-hmm. might get back to you. And yeah. if we don't, like, good luck with that, because, you know, we can chase him next year in free agency or whatever. We can try to clear cap space. We can sure. try to do a sign and trade. Whatever. We can revisit this down the road. Mm-hmm. But for today, like, we might have to go shopping somewhere else. And that's part of why I think, you know, the NBA, it is a negotiation. Everything mm-hmm. is a negotiation. And sometimes mm-hmm. you're using another team against another team. You're using sure. the idea of a Lauri Markkanen against the Pelicans mm-hmm. and like, okay, well, this is a pretty good deal the Kings are giving us, or it's not, you know, and like
sure.
we've already heard they would very much so like to have a guy like Harrison Barnes on their team.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And why wouldn't they?
Fits their ethos.
Yeah.
He's 6'8", rangy, switchable defensively, can hit
a three. Shoots a three.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing that I
don't want to say he's good defender. Yeah, he's definitely switchable. I don't know if he's a great defender.
He's solid enough, like sure. league average defender. Sure. I would say, though, with Harrison, the thing that really makes a lot of sense for them with him is the fact that he doesn't miss games. And they're a team that every single time, you know, Zion Williamson goes out for weeks and weeks, they're in trouble. And Brandon Ingram is a guy who gets hurt, and every single time he goes out, you're in trouble.
Yep.
That wouldn't be you would at least have some sort of identity without him. You would at least have a player who can
sure.
can man the position and will be healthy, and who's proven that over the last, 4 years, he hasn't mm-hmm. missed a game. Like, so there's a lot of positives.
Okay, so I'm going to assume for now that Keegan Murray is the sticking point in any Lauri Markkanen deal. I'm guessing the Jazz are asking for the moon.
Yeah.
What do you think it would be with Brandon Ingram? Like, if the Kings right now have been in talks with the Pelicans, and there's a deal on the table, and the Kings have not pulled the trigger on that deal, what do you think would be the hangup for them?
Okay, so this is always good. It's been the hangup since the beginning with the Pelicans. Like, when we were looking at this potential deal early on, mm-hmm. like, hey, what would it take to get Brandon Ingram out, right? It always depended on a three-team deal.
Mm-hmm.
You need a third team if you're the Kings, because the one thing we did hear is at the trade deadline that there was some conversations about potentially swapping Brandon Ingram for Jared Allen with the Cavs,
mm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you knew that they wanted a center upgrade. You knew that they were going to lose Valanciunas like they just did. They need a center.
Mm-hmm.
The Kings don't have an extra center to offer them. So if you're the Kings, you need to find, or if you're the Pelicans, you need to find a third team that's willing to play. and whether that costs them, you know, again, there's varying degrees of centers. There's, you know, could you get an Isaiah Stewart out of the Pistons who makes $15 million a year? Okay, maybe. They all of a sudden have a bunch of extra power forwards and centers again, right? Is that a player that might make sense there? Okay. And could you get a Clint Capella out of Atlanta? But can the Kings be part of a three-team trade that puts a player in another spot? And when you're doing this, you're usually looking for a team that isn't looking to get better today, but who's willing to take some of that draft capital. One of those players. And again, I think the Pelicans, like, sure, they would love a first-round pick from the Kings, right? But I also think the Pelicans would love a better center option, and if the first-round pick went to a different team, that might work as well.
What are the Pelicans going to do with draft picks? I think they're in the same spot as the Kings.
Yeah, maybe.
Where you're punting on your picks.
Yeah.
At least for the near future.
And we talk about this all the time. When you're going out and making trades, as much as it is the player that you're chasing, it's the wants and needs of the team that you're dealing with.
Yeah, no doubt.
Like when you're selling something, right? So I don't know if people out there have ever done sales. If you're out there just pitching what you have to offer, you're missing the boat. Sales is very much about having a conversation, letting somebody else tell you what it is that they need from you or what they need. And then your job is to find a way to work your needs and their needs. If you're listening right, your needs and their needs into one package. And that's not that hard to do. If you're listening, if you're asking the right questions of the other team. So that's the question at this point. The Pelicans, who do you want? Who is the center that you want that's out there? And let me see if there's a way for us to go get that center into this three-team deal.
Right.
And I don't know if that's possible. Maybe it is. Maybe the Kings and Jazz have talked because Walker Kessler is a guy that the New Orleans Pelicans would like to get their hands on. Is there a possibility that you could move a Kevin Huerter to one team and another guy to another team or whatever the deal is? They get another draft pick. Kessler goes somewhere else. To the Pelicans, and you get the guy that you want. So that's what this is about. It's about listening. It's about finding out what it is that the other team is trying to get, and then trying to build a trade that makes sense for everybody, not where you're ripping somebody off.
Right.
And like, look, there is a danger in trading for Brandon Ingram. Not only is he on a short-term deal, but he plays 65 games a year.
Yeah.
There's a danger in it. Just like Lauri Markkanen, they can say all they want about how good Lauri Markkanen is. Lauri Markkanen plays 65 games a year at best. And so that's a problem. Like if you're a team like the Kings and you have aspirations of going deep into the playoffs and you got a guy who can't even get through an 82-game season and you're now banking on him to maybe get through another 15 games after that, that's not always great. So all of these things have risks, and that's why like I understand the cautious approach. But I also, you don't want to be Terrence Long. I'll just like...
Yeah, well, that's right. And that's, I guess, where, again, earlier, like we opened the show talking about patience is, and you and I discussed this a lot yesterday. Because a deal didn't happen on July 1 doesn't mean there's no deal to be had.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing on July 2, same thing on July 3. But if the waiting around is because they're trying to find a center and they're trying to make this a three-team deal, okay, fine. But if the waiting around is because they are going, there's some risk here.
I don't want to give up two firsts. I only want to give up one.
Right. If it's that, then what are we doing here? If you're trying to eliminate any risk from these deals, I know you want to minimize it for sure. But if it's, two firsts and, hey, he might not play 67 games. Well, okay. If you're waiting for the perfect player, then you're never going to make a deal.
The perfect player doesn't become available because a team that has a perfect player doesn't ever let go of them. There is not going to be a time where Victor Wembanyama will play for the Sacramento Kings.
No. No.
That's it.
Nope.
There's not. And I don't know if he'll play his entire career in San Antonio, but there ain't going to be a time where he plays in Sacramento.
No.
Unless he completely falls apart and you get like the Ralph Sampson 2.0 deal from like 1986.
Sure.
And you're taking on a guy who's got no knees left and you hope that his brand name will sell something. Ah.
Are you reporting this?
Yeah, that's
Victor
it.
Victor Wembanyama is not going to play for the Kings?
Yeah, that's it. But I mean, like, look, perfect players, They don't exist.
Right. They get max contracts from their teams. Or they tell their team, hey, I want out and I would like to go to this place.
Yeah, they take their talents to South Beach.
Yes. That's it.
That's it. So look, and the other aspect to this is I know so many people are upset about the free agency stuff. The Kings don't get free agents. They don't. And when they do get free agents,
well,
they never, ever, 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 ever live up to their contract outside of Malik Monk.
Thank you.
And outside of Vlade Divac.
Shout out. Malik and Vlade.
That's it. How many times do I have to see Marco Bellinelli and George
Italian
Hill?
Kobe Bryant?
And like so many players come through Sacramento that just take the money and cannot play once they forget how to play basketball once they get to Sacramento. Mm-hmm. So
ideally that is shifting. Ideally there is a culture and a program being built that moves that, but that's historically how it's been. And I think if you're the Kings, you have to ride on that wave until it's proven otherwise.
Well, Kyle, and even if it does change,
operate under that assumption, I should say.
Even if you're operating under that assumption, you don't have any cap space anyways.
Right.
So you're not going to be a player. Paul George ain't walking through that door.
Nope.
Sorry.
You don't think Paul George will take a minimum?
No. To play for the Kings?
Well, we tried.
Well, if you would have drafted Bronny, this whole thing would be different.
Did the Kings make a mistake not drafting Bronny James? We'll talk about it next. No, we'll have more Kings for you. And some non-Kings news coming up as well on the Insiders. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Second hour coming up, sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.